Okay, you're definitely giving the vibe that you and I are the same. We both have a white guy's hand in our ass. That's just, the GNU looks to me like it's just the ANC bullying everyone else to do what it wants. Is the DA just keeping a dead horse alive by keeping the ANC in power? And when I say dead horse, I'm in no way talking about Bueno Montage.
You know, I call it trauma voting.
What's trauma voting?
Trauma voting is people vote based on the past. So they don't vote based on the present. They don't look at competences. Like, if you look like me, if you talk like me, if you come from the same place as me, I vote for you.
Comrade John Steenhuisen has to change his middle name to Debojo. They're tariffing our Nazis, and Donald Trump is a Nazi, so it's almost like it's Nazi on Nazi violence. You're giving me the vibe. You're giving the vibe that you are against black economic empowerment. Are you aware that you are also black? La la, we are back with another episode of Real Problem with Chester Missing. It's me, Chester Missing, the ball of latex that you watch on the internet. Please remember to like and subscribe and do all that stuff. It's very important. It really helps other people see balls of latex on the internet. We have an amazing guest today. It's one of the most knowledgeable South Africans I know. He's a professor. That's an amazing thing. He's probably a doctor too, but not like Dr. Victor's a doctor. It's Professor William Gumede. Hey, Prof, how's it?
I'm happy to be with you. I don't know, can I talk to you?
Yes, you can talk to me.
Can I?
Yeah. Aren't you a political prof? Don't you talk to puppets all the time?
Yes, not only, yeah, all the time. In a classroom, but also outside the classroom. I have to talk to politicians. I think I would prefer talking to you than politicians.
I know, at least you know I'm a puppet.
At least I know you're a puppet.
Exactly. Yeah. At least you know, for once, that's honest. Although, quite frankly, I think with Ramaphosa, when he was there in the White House, we saw Rupert arrive. And clearly Rupert was there because Ramaphosa needs someone to make him talk.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's the worst part of our politics, sadly. People talk in such black and white. You're either a puppet. If people don't agree with you, you're a puppet of something else. You're black. You're a puppet of Rupert. You're a puppet of this Chalambos mafia. Or if you are puppets of the Americans and so on. So we have no sensible public debate among our politicians. And also among many, many, sadly, many of our, let's call it, people who are politically active. They are talking in populist terms, talking based on outdated ideologies, and also talking based on not having the facts, not reading. And that's one of the problems that we're struggling as a democracy, but we're also struggling to get the kind of jobs to reduce poverty, because we are stuck with a public debate and a policy debate that is based on black and white thinking or great truth thinking, one silver bullet is going to solve all of our problems. Or if somebody comes up with facts, with evidence-based proposals, it is dismissed as you're a puppet of some kind of, I don't know, conspiracy out there in the world.
Isn't that a product of there just being a complete lack of trust in our political system because it hasn't served people, so they suspect that everyone is being paid by either Jan Rupert, the CIA, or the Guptas? Like, that's gradually sort of eroded everything, so now everything's bullshit because there was so much bullshit to start with. It's like living in a toilet. If you smell cuck all the time, you're going to assume everything is cuck.
No, absolutely. I mean, what we're struggling as a country is we don't have trust across race, across political ideologies and ethnic groups. And we're struggling with trust. And you know, for countries can only grow and become wealthier if they have trust. And that's our problem. And unfortunately, when the ANC came to power, and because it failed so badly, incompetence, corruption, cadre deployments, it's nonsensical policies, great truth policies. When I say great truth,
now, what is that?
Marxist policies or socialist policies that failed everywhere else, adopted in South Africa, and so on. So and causing chaos and failure, and that also caused even more distrust by South Africans who were generally distrustful to start off with.
You're the only political analyst I know who actually likes the GNU. How much are they bribing you, and can I get on the deal?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the GNU is the country's only opportunity to deal with all of the problems that we have. Why do I like the GNU? Obviously, I have a conflict of interest because I advise some of the parties to to get into the journey.
Oh, so you're corrupt. Oh, this is just what we need. He's literally being paid by the politicians to say he likes them. At least he's honest.
At least I'm honest. I mean, I started a foundation called Democracy Works Foundation in 2014, and I started it because I believe in government of national unities. I believe in diverse societies we need coalitions, we need to collaborate and partner. Now, why at this moment is the journey so important for us as a country? What a journey does, because we struggle with trust in the country, and if we can't get the trust thing right, we can't get the growth thing right, and we can't get the jobs thing right, and we can't get the service delivery thing right. So the GNU brings a diversity of political parties, of ideas and energy and resources together at a moment that our country is facing a crisis. We're facing an internal crisis because of the incompetence and corruption of the ANC, and the state has failed and state capture. Very difficult to turn around once you get such deep state capture in the state. And now we've got a Trump tariffs coming also. So, you know, it's like a double whammy of crisis.
Yeah.
What we need, one political party on its own can't deal with it. The state on its own can't deal with it. But if we have a GNU where we have all of political parties, but we also bring in business and civil society and professionals, it really will give us a fighting chance as a country.
Okay, you're definitely giving the vibe that you and I are the same. We both have a white guy's hand in our ass. That's just... I hate to racialize you, but it just, look, okay, let's start here. You managed to be a prof somehow, and the GNU looks to me like it's just the ANC bullying everyone else to do what it wants. So is the DA just keeping a dead horse alive by keeping the ANC in power? And when I say dead horse, I'm in no way talking about Gwede Mantashe.
No, sadly, you know, because the ANC has been in power for 30 years, the ANC's way of thinking, the ANC thinks, and it supported many of its supporters, that the ANC is still in charge. And that, you know, DA and all the other parties, they just add ons. And whilst the GNU is a new government, it's not an ANC government, a new government, and meaning they need new policies. So the DA's problem is they want this thing to work, they want the country to work, but they're going to have to fight the ANC for space.
But they're not. They're losing. They're folding every time. I mean, John Steenhuisen literally said, "I'm leaving." And then he went, "I'm out." "Oh, shit, I'm back." "No, I'm out. I'm out." "Oh, crap, I'm back again." "Oh, I'm out." "No, I'm back again." It was literally the weirdest coming out the closet moment I've seen in my life. It was like a gay guy who's very ambivalent. "I'm out the closet. I'm back in. I'm out. I'm back in." And now he's stuck.
That's the
clearly
trouble.
John Steenhuisen has absolutely no pie. He might as well change his name to Kosile. It's like a power station at Eskom. For those of you who are too stupid to get the jokes.
I mean, that's a problem of crying wolf too many times. Because if you think about it, if you're in a partnership and a coalition, even an intimate partnership, you can't cry wolf all the time. You have to choose your battles. You have to choose what you're fighting for. You can't just say, "I'm walking out," you know, all the time, because then you begin to lose credibility and you're starting to lose trust. And the problem for the DA is if you're going to have the ANC who still believes it's the majority party, you are with them, and they still have their old policies and not working, and you're going along with their old policies, you also get discredited. And that's their problem, that unless they fight the ANC inside the GNU all the time, and when they have positions that they actually deliver at the same time. So it's this sort of balance of continuing to fight the ANC almost as if they are an opposition party inside the GNU.
But they're not.
While delivering.
They're not. Yeah. They're just not. I was at State of the Nation and they were basically just kissing the ANC's ass. If they kiss the ANC's ass any harder, we have to report them to the BCCSA for porn on TV. It really is ridiculous.
No, their challenge is going to be, you know, they have to learn the lessons what happened in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, then the Movement for Democratic Change was in the GNU with ZANU-PF of Robert Mugabe.
Yeah.
So Robert Mugabe and the ZANU-PF did exactly what ANC is doing now. They say, "Well, MDC, you are, yes, an add-on. We're still going to continue with our ZANU-PF policies, which has failed in the past."
Yeah.
And then the MDC could not differentiate itself from ZANU-PF. And in the end, MDC disappeared.
It just vanished. It was gone. Maybe that'll happen to the DA. Maybe one day we'll find out that comrade John Steenhuisen has to change his middle name to De Bocho. Listen, you studied what made East Asian economies work. What are we doing wrong? Do we need to have more noodles? Must we deploy Tokyo Sekhwale? What must we do? That was a great Asian joke, guys. Tokyo Sekhwale, but nobody gets it. What do we need to do?
I mean, for me, the important thing is talent, getting the right people with the competence at the right places to run the right things.
Okay, you've lost us. Yes. I'm sorry. Ooh, I don't know if you've seen these people in Parliament, but there are no competent politicians. They're literally not. Okay, maybe Songhez or Zibi on a good day. But other than that, these people are bloody idiots. If they weren't in politics, they'd all be working at Cash Crusaders at the checkout, and that's a no disrespect to the people at Cash Crusaders.
Yeah. The thing is, why did the ANC fail? Why did other parties that look like the ANC fail in Africa, other liberation movements, they all failed? I mean, since 1847, when Liberia became the first African country to become an independent, think 1847, all of the independent movements and liberation movements in Africa failed, all of them, most of them. And one of the things has been because they'll appoint you to run a complex organization like ESCOM, based on your struggle credentials and other credentials. So political experience becomes the criteria for appointments to run sophisticated engineering entities and sophisticated companies and so on. So that's the first thing. And what East Asians done, you know, whether in Japan or Singapore or Taiwan, they went for merit. Get the best people to run the state, best people to be politicians, and so on. And that is very, very important. Yeah, with the ANC, when they were in charge, they appointed people based on struggle experience. Yep. You go and run Transnet. Run Transnet. Yep. If never, not
no
engineer.
Idea. Look what Dumiani did there at SAA. Just bankrupted. How do you bring an airline down? They literally have airplanes.
The second thing that we need to do is education. What East Asians done, when they empower their people, okay, not black economic empowerment, let's say the equivalent of Asian empowerment, what they did was to get their education in the schools to be at the same level or better than the West. For example, in Singapore, I mean, Singapore was a colony of Britain.
Yeah.
By the 1980s, Britain talks about Singapore economics. And the kids in the UK were doing Singapore mathematics. Believe it or not, so the kids in Singapore that were colonized by Britain were better at mathematics.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're saying, oh.
Maybe they didn't have an Angie Moshech involved. Oh, burn! Oh, my God. Oh, Angie.
You know, here we say, if we focus on mathematics, oh, no, there's colonization.
But why did they manage there in Singapore to make their education work? I mean, we have had a ruling party that had the power to make education work, and they just didn't. What was the difference?
I mean, we introduced mathematics lit.
Your maths lit, which ironically is not lit.
I think that's...
Oh, boom, that's a huge joke, William Gomede.
I didn't get it, sorry.
No, it's lit, the thing. Oh, my God, I've got to explain all my jokes to all these bloody uncles that come talk to me. I'm joking, you're not an
I'm
uncle.
I'm a professor, you know, I don't
you're
get the jokes.
Uncle.
I don't get the jokes.
You don't get the jokes, yes.
I don't get jokes.
They extract your sense of humor the moment you become a professor.
I've always known.
Thank you for finally admitting what the rest of us is. You're giving the vibe that you are against black economic empowerment. Are you aware that you are also black?
Yes. I know there's some people who say to me, oh, you know, you're a coconut.
What's a coconut? I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't know what it is?
No, tell us.
You're black outside and white inside.
Where do you think we're working? Okay, listen, I'm not calling you a coconut, but if you call yourself that, that's
no,
on
no,
you.
No, I'm not calling
you sure you're not just the black version of AfriForum? Black Reforum. AfriForum. I'm kidding, we already have a black AfriForum, prof. Yeah, they call MK. Oh, I'm out! But seriously, why are you against black economic empowerment?
No, I'm not against black economic empowerment. What I'm saying is we have to look at alternative ways to do it. It hasn't worked because what has happened now, it has empowered a few ANC-connected people. made it super, super, super rich. So the same people get re-empowered over and over. And, you know, it's like same individuals get empowered in this company, then you get empowered in another company, you get all the state contracts, the same people. It's like a handful of people. So is that the way we want to go?
Or well, they're quite big, so they're more like an armful of people, but I know what you mean. They eat well.
Yeah. What are the other things we can do?
Yeah, what's the alternative to be?
For example, we can say, let's empower small business all around the world in the economies that grow, the economies that do very well. 80% to 90% of those economies are small business. Germany, Japan, Singapore. Yeah, we are not empowering small business.
But surely what gets you to have a small business, right, is a level of connections, being able to get finance, being able to get people to support you, being able to get clients. And that's a product of networks of power. So in other words, your race comes into it, because if your dad, you know, has some money to help you get a loan, if your family has connections in business so you can get your first contract. And what that means is it stays within the same circles of white privilege no matter what you do. How do we crack that problem while not going to the same loop of black economic empowerment?
So if we use black economic empowerment for small business, we can crack the loop. We can crack the loop we're giving you get finance. The banks, in lieu of black economic empowerment, give you finance if you're not connected. But you've got skin in the game. I mean, the whole thing about if you...
Was that a skin in the game joke? Skin in the game! I knew I would get this guy to talk about race. He says, no, it's not about race. And there he is, skin in the game. Found a loophole. But I mean, so are you saying that small businesses that are black-owned would have some kind of slight preferential treatment that is kind of black economic empowerment, but focusing on small business?
But focusing on small business, yeah. So it would mean the banks, let's just say you from Soweto, your small business, you're not connected to the ANC. Right now, you're not going to get any money from the state. Forget about this. You're not connected, you're not going to get some money. Then you go to the bank says, oh, here, can we see some collateral? What do you have? So, oh, now I've got a tons of a house. Like, well, no. Sorry. But if you change the black economic empowerment, that person will then get a loan from the bank and so on. And so we depoliticize this whole thing and so on. So that's the first. The second thing is what we can say is if we've got an unemployment problem and we've got a 60% youth unemployment, I mean, just think about it. This is like depression era, like in a Great Depression. Look how I'm saying this. So we say, if we say every business take on young people, then that becomes black economic empowerment. So it's like, Standard Bank, if you take on 100,000 kids, which they can, they list the companies as a bank, that's black economic empowerment. You get your tax breaks, you get your life little certificate, black economic empowerment.
That is a really good idea. Have you thought of telling the politicians about this?
I have, but they've captured black economic empowerment.
Oh, my God.
They don't want to hear that.
Because they've realized that you also might be a coconut. And now they're going, no, we can't listen to that guy. He's probably trying to sell us out. Or they probably realize they can't get a tender out of what you've just described.
No, absolutely.
Is that probably the main reason?
Yeah, because that's self-interest. I mean, they've made so much money. Why are we going to stop
this thing? Here's the solution to South Africa's problem. Sitting right there, this poor professor who looks like he's homeless, he has the answer. And you frickin' morons won't listen to them. I don't understand why these politically elected people get so much power. Listen, why is our economy growing so slowly, Prof? Must we give it Viagra? Must Maluski Gaba massage it with baby oil? What has to happen?
I mean, there's a couple of things that will have to happen. Firstly, we have to say the state on its own here, our state is so terrible right now, is actually the problem. It's actually slowing our growth. Think about it. So the lack of rule of law, taxi people killing other people, innocent bystanders, that's lack of rule of law, Zama, the sort of mafias taking over mines.
Look what's going on.
Yes. It's construction mafia, you built anything down in KZN or in the Eastern Cape. Construction mafia wants to bribe you, don't give it to them, they're going to stop your things. So we can't get growth. So we have to get the rule of law. We have to get the state to work first. Get it to work. So, well, we're not going to get his work, sadly, because it's been captured by, you know, when it was captured by the Zuma presidency, it takes a very long time once the institution or the state or even any organization is captured to restore it. So it takes 5 years sometimes or more if you're lucky.
So we've got another 5 years or so to go of this. It's fixable?
But we can do other things in the meantime. We can say, well, you know, if we can't fix this part of the state, there are private sector companies that can do it in the meantime.
Oh, wow.
There's civil society organizations that can do it.
Okay.
Let's go and do it. If right. Transnet, we
I'm
know
we're
not
going to... I'm feeling more
excited now. Yeah.
Oh, God. I was feeling very depressed, Prof. I was feeling very depressed, especially after you went off about the GNU, and I'm feeling a bit more relaxed. I'm not going to lie. Listen, we're trying to replace the trade we got from the United States with trade from other places. On a scale from 1 to Gayton McKenzie, how likely is that to succeed?
You know,
Gayton McKenzie means absolutely never. It's so cuck, we might as well give up.
No, we can't give up. I think what people don't understand is that the U.S. may be our second biggest trading partner, and China's our biggest trading partner. But there's something about the U.S., what they do is they've got many, many companies in South Africa that employs over 400,000 people. The Chinese don't have that, right? That's the first. And those many companies in South Africa, they're not only directly employing 400,000, they employ other people also, because you know, if you've got a company, you've got other people's services who come in there, you've got cleaners, you've got, you know, all sorts of other things, you've got little bakeries outside, spider shops close by. So you create jobs for everyone. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the US's development aid, they give there's a couple of ways they give to us development aid well before Trump cut it. They give it directly to our state, where our state fails. So they've been giving that kind of money, you know, in the health services and so on. Then they're giving money to social service, our NGOs that deliver services, you know, because our state has failed. Almost 60% of anything social development, whether it is from dealing with drugs, alcoholism, it's not a state that delivers it. It is NGOs. And where do those NGOs get their money? They don't get it from the state. They get their money from the U.S.
Oh, my God.
Really? Yeah. So
I've gone back to depressed again. I've gone back. You know, you really could brighten the day up a little bit.
I will come.
My God, you're the most depressing man I've met in ages. And I've interviewed Gwede Mantashe.
No. Please don't compare with Gwede Mantashe.
No, you're much
smaller. I took up a little bit.
Other than that, and you have nicer sets of clothing, but literally I've seen actual Bomas have nicer sets of clothing, Gwede Mantashe.
But just, I mean, back on that US, because now you distracted me with
Gwede Mantashe. Yes, the US, they give us money for our NGOs.
Yeah. And then what they do also is they give money for our research and partners. But then we've got cultural exchanges and so on. And then there are US private individuals, they put so much money into South Africa, foundations and so on. So if you bring it all together.
Everyone's worried about that. Bill Gates, that's who you're talking about.
There's also others.
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Ronald McDonald.
I mean, for example, I'll just tell you the
Thibaut Touch.
Hewlett Packard.
Thibaut Touch is my favorite American.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, you've got to hear his accent for that joke to make sense. But don't worry, keep going. You'll Google it later and you'll see what's
happening. I'll go back to go. But I mean, so when we put it all together, the US acts as Africa's trading partner. And then now let me come to the Chinese.
Come to them.
The Chinese, but maybe one last thing before I get to the Chinese.
Okay.
With the U.S., they manufacture things in South Africa. So like Ford, they're here, they put everything together, they get, you know, little small companies that makes everything from the leather to kind of everything else. And that creates jobs. So when you have manufacturing, that creates the growth and the jobs. So that's why Japan is doing well, and why Singapore is doing well, because they make things. You have to make things as a country, and then you have to export it. That's how you get jobs. Right. No other way.
Okay.
Now, that's what the Americans do to us.
We make
DJs. They're giving us jobs. Now, if the Chinese, they make their jobs already there and they bring it to us.
Oh.
They bring their cars all done and then they bring it to us and then they displace what we've got. And then not only that, the state, the Chinese state, subsidize their companies.
So they're literally using the Chinese state to compete with our local small businesses that American companies would actually give work to. So basically Chinese economy is undermining our economy. So it's not all happy games and bricks.
Now that's
They're that literally throwing a bricks at us.
Totally, they're throwing it at us.
I wish I had a better joke there, but I don't.
And that
my
is
China.
The
that was a weird thing South Africa said. Yep. Okay, how do we deal with this? Because at the moment there's tariffs. Now they're tariffing our Nazis, and Donald Trump is a Nazi, so it's almost like it's Nazi on Nazi violence.
No, it's one Nazi versus another Nazi, so how do we fix this now? But we're a small Nazi. As a country, I mean, this is such a small little economy that the US, you know, they can walk off us. But on a serious note, what we need to do is we need to actually negotiate with them better. How do we negotiate with them? Trump do not like the ANC. So don't send an ANC person to go and negotiate with Trump. Or with the Trump group, because they want to have personal sanctions against the ANC. Now, if you're going to send an ANC individual, don't send Lamola, for example. I mean,
why don't you?
Or not Naledi Pandor
either.
He's
a nice guy.
He looks like he's 12.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's like take a boy. They're all nice guys.
But they don't like to the other side of.
So who must we send?
Then we say,
must we send Helen?
Yeah, well, send her.
Oh my God, you said yes. Oh my God! Can you imagine Helen Ziller there? Colonialism had a good side, Donald. Anyway, you're right. You're right, Helen.
Actually, Donald, give us what you want. The most racist meeting
since early CODESA. That's amazing.
But that's what we need to do. Or we send Tony Leon, for example. Or we send our business people. You know, we send our business people who are actually doing business in the U.S., who knows the U.S.
That makes sense.
And so on. So that's what we do. Other countries have done that. For example, Japan, they put a task team together of like top business people who understands the U.S. market, some of the best people also in the States and kind of civil society, and say, you go and negotiate for us. And so on. So that's what we need to do. And then we need to ask, what do we have that the U.S. needs? I mean, there's not many things, but there are some things.
We've got DJ Fresh.
Yeah, why not? Don't care. If we need to do that, it's going to be like, yeah. But right.
We have ostrich feathers. We have biltong. I mean, that's quite a long list so far. Yeah, you're not even making notes, quite frankly. And for a professor, that's quite lazy. I've just given you three great things.
No, you know, like my students.
We've got Bonang Matebe. Does America have a Bonang? No, they don't. Why do South Africans keep voting for populist assholes? The people who do the right thing are always boring as hell. Have you heard Songezi ZB talk? It's so boring. Oh my. He's like if SAFM was a political party. Oh my God. As the moment Rai starts talking, I'm just, oh my God. You're right, but I can't handle sleeping through an election.
But if we want to have jobs, if we want to have growth, we have to elect boring politicians. As simple as that. And other countries that fail, other African countries, they vote for people who can sing, can toy.
Come on, exciting.
It's really exciting.
Can party. What a killjoy professor you are.
And he can insult other people and he can blame other people. Say, you white people are the problem for are the reason for all our problems in the country. You foreigners are the foreign you.
Find a group to hate, and then everyone will get on board with you.
Absolutely.
Oh, that
but
sucks.
That's not a politician's way. That people think, sadly, the majority of our voters think those are the people that actually are proper politicians. So what we need an Angela Merkel boringness. Actually, because those type of people are more compassionate, are genuinely compassionate. They're not going to tell you bullshit stories and just want to get your vote for the sake of getting your vote. Tell you anything just to get your vote. You want to get people to tell you, look, are we going to do that? I'm not going to say that. You may want that, but I'm not going to do that because that's not how we can grow the economy. You're going to grow it this way. It's not popular. But you're actually going to get a job and your child will get good education.
How do we get South Africans to vote for that boring politician?
I think we have to work hard. I don't have the answer.
I have the answer. Podcast with puppets. We all know that's the answer. How come didn't you see that immediately? Coming on this podcast is what you do, prof. How did you become a prof and not have the answer? I'm going to give you a Google review after this stupid interview. Thanks for coming, prof. You're an absolute
But just before
genius.
You, I just wanted to add something like, I call it trauma voting.
What's trauma voting?
Trauma voting is people vote based on the past. So they don't vote based on the present. They don't look at competencies. Like, if you look like me, if you talk like me, if you come from the same place as me, I vote for you. If you say, Okay,
who
we're going to take all of this.
At Bladen Zimande and going, oh, I look like you. Nobody looks like Bladen Zimande. Bladen Zimande is a once off. They broke the mold and God said never, never, and never again.
So we have to break out of trauma bonding and vote based on competence, even if you don't like the person, if you don't like the person's color, even if you think the person is super boring.
Prof, that was some very wise words. Thanks for coming onto my podcast. We must go read your books. Go read your books!
Thank you.
They're amazing. That's Prof William Gomede. This was Real Talk with Chester Missing. Make sure you subscribe, like, and follow my OnlyFans page that I've just launched. It's called Trauma Voting. Bye!